the laws of Shabbos. Shabbos, today's our, really our only chance, because this is our only Shabbos Hanukkah. And by the way, Rabbi said, this year is a very rare year. This year, the last time the calendar, if I, this is what I was told, I didn't check it this myself, but the last time the calendar was arranged in such a fashion where Hanukkah, the first day of Hanukkah is on a Friday, and the second day of Hanukkah is on Shabbos, was 22 years ago. I think before that, it was 40 years ago. Supposedly, maybe I'm making a mistake, but this arrangement is extremely rare. L'may nafkamina, the Haftorah of Parshas Miketz. Next week, not this week, but next week, because of the way the calendar falls out, we will be reading Mirtz Hashem on Shabbos, next Shabbos, the regular Haftorah of Parshas Miketz, something you almost never do. And what is the Haftorah Vayikatz Shloimoi V'inei Chaloim? And what is the Haftorah all about? About the Chochma Shloimoi, where two women came and claimed that they were both pregnant, mm-hmm. and they woke up in the morning and they both had a baby. One of the babies died and one was alive. And each one claimed that the living child was their child. And Shlomo HaMelech said, I'll tell you what, let's cut the child in half. And you'll take half, and the other will have half. And when the real mother heard Shlomo HaMelech say, cut the baby in half, she gave out a shriek, and she said, okay, let her have it. Let the other woman have the baby. Shlomo HaMelech said, oh, that's proof that you're the real mother. And he awarded her the baby. And when this story went out to the world, the fame of the Chochmah of Shlomo was spread throughout the entire world. This is not a medrash. This is not a medrash. This is a psukim. Okay, yeah, you'll tell someone this, they'll tell you, oh, it's a medrash. No, it's not a fairy tale. This is the real deal. It says this in the text. This is the Haftorah of Parshas.
I don't like that pejorative label.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But you have to understand, Rabbi Chol, he wrote the Medrash. He did. He is the translator of Medrash to Midrashim, right? A Medrash on Megillas Esther and Megillas Rus. Is that correct?
Correct. That's correct.
Okay, so he wrote the book. So we have to be very careful what we say. I'm sorry, Rabbi Chol, I'm sorry.
Talk about Zanufa.
I'm sorry about that. You're correct. But this it's in the text. This is in Sefer Melachim. And we only lay in this Haftorah. It's very rare to lay in this Haftorah. And it all relates to the way the calendar falls out. The calendar falls out in a very unusual way this year. And I don't know what it means. What is this symbolic of? Who knows? This year's also is gonna be Erev Shabbos, Shechali, Erev Pesach, Shechaliyos. Shabbos. This year is another one of those years, also not all that often, when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. We have two unique things going for us this year. Most of the time when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, it's Shabbos. You don't have this arrangement of Shabbos Chanukah. This year there are two very rare things. If only Klal Yisrael will observe two Shabbosos, Miyad Nigolin, Alma Ne'emar, on this year. On this year, the two Shabbosos that are extremely rare, that happened very, very rare, are Shabbos Chanukah and Erev Pesach Shechaliyos B'Shabbos. Each one of these things you can write a book on. So maybe it could be a good siman tov. Mole Yisrael, if we only observe Shtei Shabbosos, Miyad Nigolin. Or in any event, tomorrow is Erev Shabbos. And what are the unique laws relating to Hadlokas Haneros on Shabbos Chanukah? First of all, first question, what do you do first? Do you daven mincha first or do you light candles first? And I noticed here in the shul, in the Yermishal Midwood, there's a big sign on the door. First minyan Erev Shabbos Parashas Chanukah is 3:00. I would imagine the second minyan is more like 4:10, in that range. But they're having here an early minyan for mincha at 3 o'clock. And I know many shuls have this. There are many shuls that have an early minyan on Erev Shabbos Parshas Chanukah at an early, so people can daven mincha first, and then they can go home and light candles. Why? Why is that really something that you should do? Or maybe not. Maybe you should not do it. Now, what are the issues? So let's discuss some of the different issues. First of all, there's the classic issue of Tadir Vishainoi Tadir Tadir Koide. When you have in front of you two obligations, what goes first? Tadir Vishainoi Tadir. When you Shabbos Chanukah, which Sefer Torah are you gonna learn from first? Are you gonna learn from Shabbos, or are you gonna learn from Chanukah, Parashas Nosa? Of course Shabbos. Tadir, what is frequent? V'she'enoi tadir, and what is not frequent? Tadir koidem, we do what is frequent first. Okay, so that is a general rule. What's more frequent, mincha or hadlokas neiros? Mincha. So dav mincha first, and then you light candles. That's the halacha, especially those that are meticulous. People that are not meticulous in these things, so you tell them these things, they look at you like, you know, what? What are you talking about? But there are people out there that are very meticulous in davening mincha, the moiser nefesh every day to daven mincha properly. I take off my hat to these people who have, you know, the stamina to be very, not just to daven, but to daven kedas uchedin, to come early, to sit down, to recite the entire Ashrei sitting, every single word, to listen to the Kaddish, to daven chazar, daven shmon esh chazar hashas, to listen to every word, to tachnun. You know, it takes a lot of work, a lot of effort every single day to be medactic, to daven mincha kedas uchedin. So someone that's very medactic, now comes Shabbos Erev Chanukah, no, I won't be medactic. What do you do first? Tadir v'she'ene tadir tadir koidim. Okay, that's one issue. There's another, probably even a more important issue, and that is, when you're lighting candles on Erev Shabbos, for Shabbos, you can't light candles on Shabbos. For Shabbos, we're going to light two candles. You can't light the candles on Shabbos. It's Chilul Shabbos. So when do you light the candles? Erev Shabbos. But the candles that you're lighting are really L'chvoid Shabbos. If you're going to light the candles first, in essence, you're making a statement. Shabbos has begun. Just like a woman who lights candles Friday night. What does she do? She lights the candles, and then she makes the bracha. Because why doesn't she make the bracha first, and then light the candles? Because once you make the bracha, you will mekabel Shabbos. And now you can't light the candles, it would be Chilul Shabbos. So a woman has no choice other than to first light the candles and then do the whole thing. And then you make the bracha of Lahalik Ner Shel Shabbos. Chanukah is the same thing. Once you light the candles with the bracha, in essence, you've made a statement that Shabbos has begun. Because these candles are in honor of the Shabbos. I'm lighting two candles. Because Shabbos, you light two candles. Now you're going to shul and you're davening mincha. Mincha is Friday. You're going backwards in time. What are you, a time traveler? You're a time traveler. I'm lighting candles in honor of Shabbos, which means I'm looking forward. My perspective is going forward. And then I go to shul. Oh, it's still Friday. I'm a time traveler. I'm going back in time. You're negating the lighting of your candles.
You're talking about a man that's lighting Shabbos candles?
No, I'm talking about Hanukkah candles now. I just gave an analogy. I just used the Shabbos candles as an analogy. It's just like a woman. I gave an analogy. What is halacha when a woman lights candles Friday night? She first lights the candles, right, and then she makes the bracha. Why doesn't she first make the bracha? Every mitzvah we do, over last year, and you first make the bracha and light the candles. The answer is, because if she would make the bracha, that in essence would be a Kabbalah Shabbos. So once Shabbos has begun, it's too late for her.
Right.
You can't go backwards in time to light the candles. So I'm using that as an example. If a male is lighting Hanukkah candles, How many candles are you going to light Erev Shabbos? Two, because you on Shabbos you light two candles. You are, in essence, declaring, oh, Shabbos is here. And then you're going to Shul, you're davening Mincha. Mincha is Friday. The candles that you lit at home, L'chvoid Chanukah, were L'chvoid the following day. So you're going backwards in time.
Because you lit them before Shabbos, that's what you're saying?
No, you have to light them before Shabbos.
We're talking Chanukah.
We're talking Chanukah.
It has nothing to do with Shabbos.
Right, but let's take a step back. During the weekday, okay, today, when will you light Chanukah candles?
Tonight.
After it gets dark. Mishech HaShecha.
Right.
We spent 2 days discussing the translation of the word Mishech HaShecha.
Right.
But the common denominator is after it's dark.
Right.
Now, bidi evet, if you can't light when it's dark because you have to travel, so you can light early. That's not the normal halacha. You're supposed to light Chanukah candles after it gets dark. Mishech HaShecha. Now you need to define the term Mishech HaShecha. Shabbos, you can't do that. Because once it gets dark, according to any interpretation, you're not allowed to light candles. It's Chilul Shabbos. If you can wait until the stars come out, it's Chilul Shabbos. Even if you wait until after sunset, you can't light candles anymore.
Right.
So you cannot possibly light the Chanukah candles when it's dark Friday night. Obviously, built in to the mitzvah of the 8 days of lighting candles on Chanukah is a special dispensation
right. That
Erev Shabbos, you don't light the candles when it gets dark,
right. But
you light the candles before it gets dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only day that lichatchila, that the ideal thing to do is to light the candles before it gets dark, because once the sun sets, it's too late.
Right.
Now, you're going to have to add some extra oil. You're going to have to make sure, you have to add extra oil to make sure that the candles remain lit all the way until a half an hour after it gets dark, whatever you consider to be dark. You're going to have to add that extra oil. But there's no choice. But in essence, when you are lighting your candles, Erev Shabbos, your Chanukah candles, you are lighting it in preparation, in respect of Shabbos. Correct?
Okay.
Okay, it's a mindset.
Okay.
You're in a frame of mind. It's now the second day of Chanukah. I'm lighting two candles. I'm going to say Haneris Halalu. You'll sing Mosu, maybe not. You're in that frame of mind. It's not yet sunset. But my frame of mind is, I'm going forward to the Shabbos. Then you go to Shul, and you daven Mincha. Excuse me, you daven Mincha on Friday, not on Shabbos. But even though technically it's still Friday, but in your mind, it's not Friday anymore. It's not a matter of law. It's a matter of perspective.
Okay.
It's a matter of being in the proper frame of mind. You're going backwards in time. So it would be ideal to first daven Mincha. Mincha you daven on Friday, on the first day of Chanukah. And now you go home and you light candles as a way of ushering in Shabbos Kodesh. Just like a woman, when she lights Shabbos candles, she is now preparing for Shabbos. When you light the Chanukah candles, it's your way of preparing for Shabbos. You don't want to go backwards in time. They have the same exact shaila with women. Are they allowed to daven mincha after they light Shabbos candles on a regular Friday afternoon? You have a woman who every day davens mincha. So thank you very much for the coffee. Thank you. Lichatchila. When should a woman daven mincha? Lichatchila. Before she lights Shabbos candles. Because once she lights the Shabbos candles, it's Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
If it's Shabbos, it's not Friday. Mincha you daven on Friday, not on Shabbos. So lichatchila, a woman should first daven mincha and then light the Shabbos candles. Bidiyaved, if a woman's really running late, she can light Shabbos candles and she can daven mincha afterwards. But that's not ideal. It's exactly the same thing when it comes to Chanukah candles. Not exactly, because when you light the Chanukah candles, you're not mekabel Shabbos, but you're in a frame of mind that now we are in a Shabbos mode.
Okay.
You put the oven on Shabbos mode. and then you're going to go daven mincha. Contradiction. So we've given already two reasons why you should daven mincha first. Tadir v'she'ena tadir koidem. First comes mincha, then comes chanukah candles. And then the second reason is because you don't want to go back in time. On the other hand, there's a reason why you should daven mincha afterwards. Because the ideal time to daven mincha, we don't do this as Litvaks. That's why you see the Litvish Olam, they daven mincha first. But in the Hasidish world, the Hasidim are very makbit. Those that are meticulous in mitzvahs by the Hasidim are very makbit to daven mincha at the very end of the day. Just like we all could appreciate davening kivos sikin, we have respect for people who get up very, very early and they daven shmon eshay when the sun rises. You want to begin the day, begin sunrise with a shmona esrei. You want to end the day with a shmona esrei. Davening mincha at the end of the day is equivalent to davening kivosikin. There's a beautiful thing in davening kivosikin to usher in the day in a frame of mind of prayer. Likewise, there's a beautiful inyan to end the day when you are in the middle of a Shemona Esrei. Many people, the only time they do this is Erev Shabbos. Okay, most of us are on schedules where we daven mincha every day at a set time. Okay, so in the workplace, you daven every day mincha 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock, this, that. You usually daven at a fixed time. Okay, people who go to shul, they daven later, because they daven with sunset. People who daven with all the shul minyanim here in the Midwood, they daven mincha basically with sunset, right? A few minutes before sunset. That's like daven kivosikin. Every day your schedule is going to change. Every day it's not so easy to maintain such a schedule every single day to go and daven mincha b'diyuk when the sun sets. But Erev Shabbos, when you're going to work and you're coming home and everyone goes to shul for Mincha Ma'ariv, for many people, it's the only time of the week when you're able to fulfill davening mincha, I'll abuse the term, kivosikin. Okay, many of us respect very much, we all wish we could daven shacharis kivosikin. It's a little bit complicated to do for many people. But mincha, it's the same thing. So how often do you get a chance to daven mincha kivosikin? Erev Shabbos. So who says you should give it up for Hanukkah candles? If you're going to be like these Litvaks, they're going to come over here, you're going to come over here to your mitzvah at 3 o'clock and daven mincha early. Ask them, why are you coming all of a sudden? Shabbos Hanukkah, you're coming at 3 o'clock daven mincha. Oh, my high. Don't you know? Tadir v'she'ene, tadir koidim. Don't you know that I'm not a time traveler? I'm not a time traveler. First is Friday, then comes Chanukah. So say, well, don't you know that it's a beautiful, ideal thing to daven mincha b'dimdume chama, as the sun sets. The day begins when the kivosikin, when the sun rises, your mind is Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu. And when the sun sets, your mind is Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu. What about that? The Kalta Litvak doesn't know from these things. The Hasidim, they know from these things. They're very, very, those that are makbid on these things. Unfortunately, they abuse this also. They daven too late, this, that. But the real Hasidim understand that you daven mincha when the sun sets. So who told you to give it up? Who told you that you should give up this maila of davening mincha b'dimdume chama? That is a very strong argument why you should do nothing different than you do on a regular Friday. First, light the candles for Hanukkah. Okay, don't worry, you can be a time traveler once a year. And then you go to shul, nidavin mincha, bidimdume chama. And by the way, let's be realistic. If For many people, this whole thing is just all theoretical. It's not even very relevant because you don't have a choice. Many people are so busy. They just don't have, they go to work, they have to do this, they have to do that. They just don't have the ability to daven mincha early, to run around. Then they don't have that freedom. Okay, ein achanami. So then there's no, of course, you light candles and go to shul. Who's stopping you? We're talking over here alumnus. We're talking over here theoretical matters of what in an ideal world would be the correct thing to do, at least to gain an appreciation of what the Yom Tov is all about and what these concepts are all about. And these pretty much appear to be the two major conflict of which wins out over the other. Tadir v'sheinu tadir, together with time traveling problems, versus davening mincha in its ideal time when the sun sets. And not to forget about the practicality of the matter of what you're able to, what just works better for you. And there is another thing, which is not really halacha, but it is something very practical. Many people criticize, I've heard this from Rabbanim, they criticize people who daven mincha Friday early. And you know, during Corona, I really got to appreciate what they meant. They're very quick. They tell, Rabbanim will tell people, do not daven an early mincha on a Friday. You know why?
No.
It will lead to chil Shabbos. What happens? This is 100% true. I know it myself. You daven mincha, 1:30.
No.
And then, okay, so now I'm free. I'm a free bird. So when do I go to shul?
No.
I'll roll into shul for Kabbalah Shabbos.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're rolling a little bit late also. You have to come on time, you come a little bit late. The sun sets, so when are you obligated to stop doing milacha? When the sun sets. Are you really, I have another 10 minutes, another 5 minutes, another 3 minutes, another 1 minute. I got to shave, polish my shoes. I wanted to surf the web one more time. Maybe I have to make a decision about, you know, what to do in this world. Maybe they're going to ask me who should be the president of the United States. So I have to go check my email one more time before Shabbos. And when you start playing around, you know the old joke is that the husband and wife, they come, they the husband says, we got married. We made, me and my wife and I, we made a decision that I would decide all of the important things and she would decide all of the not important things. So how did the marriage work out? She decides which schools we send the children. She decides what names we give the children. She decides where we live. She decides basically everything that affects my, what job I have, what kind of job I should have, and which house we should buy. Those are the small things. I decide who should be the president of the United States. I decide if the United States should leave NATO. I decide if we should declare war on Iran. I decide the big things. And she decides everything. She decides the little things, just, you know, where we should live and if we should buy this house and where to send the children to school and who they should marry. Those are the little things in life. She decides. As long as I get to decide who the president of the United States is. Because in any event, when it comes to Erev Shabbos, many rabbis will tell you.
And it's such an ancient joke.
Okay. It's Chazara. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehyeh bedvarai.
Amen.
Now getting back to our discussion. Many rabbis tell people, do not daven mincha early. You know why? If you don't daven mincha early, you know what you're going to have to do? Well, you should do, and you probably will do, you'll go to shul for mincha. When do they daven mincha in almost every single shul in this neighborhood? About 10 to 15 minutes before sunset. If you have to go to shul 10 to 15 minutes before sunset, if you come late, there's no chance you will be mechalel Shabbos. Because you're going to be in shul 10 minutes before sunset, davening mincha. Which is, in fact, probably is the ideal time to daven mincha anyway. If you're not going to be davening mincha ketana, mincha gedoyla, you might as well daven with sunset. Dimdu miyachama. So you're going to be in shul. If you're going to daven mincha 1:15, then what's going to happen? You're not going to be in shul at 10 minutes before sunset, where are you going to be? You're going to be home. What are you going to be doing at home? Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows how you will be distracted? What things will you might be dressed for Shabbos, but we all know what goes on in the house before Shabbos. You'll be distracted. And you'll play around another minute. Before you turn around, Shabbos already has begun, sunset has already happened, and you're still being Mechalel Shabbos. That is a very terrible thing. So you know what? Why don't daven mincha. Be religious and don't daven mincha and go to shul right before. That way it'll be insurance not to be Mechalel Shabbos. So is that a good argument to make? Erev Shabbos Chanukah, you bet it is. Because when you're rushing to light Chanukah candles, you may end up lighting your Chanukah candles after sunset. A mitzvah habab avera. So maybe it wouldn't be such a bad idea that you should daven mincha in shul, so you'll rush your kishkas out to light the candles 20 minutes before sunset, so you can get to shul 10 minutes before sunset, and there's a guarantee you will not be Mechalel Shabbos. Okay, so that's another argument to make. You know something? Don't daven mincha early at 3 o'clock tomorrow. Don't worry, they'll find a minion. Don't worry, they'll find a minion. They'll take someone off the street even who's not wearing a mask if they really need it. They'll find a minion. So this is the issues. It's a dilemma. It's a very big dilemma what to do Erev Shabbos. The Litvish Olam, they're very into this. I don't know why. They thrive on this. All the years, from time immemorial, the yeshiva guys, they love this. Erev Shabbos, Chanukah, all of a sudden, they're from the Asar Rishonim for Mincha. The whole year, they're not to be seen anywhere for Mincha. Mincha, they're gone. They're out, who knows where they are. Erev Shabbos, Chanukah, wow! Home run. They're here, Asar Rishonim to David in early Mincha. Okay, maybe there's something to at least once a year you daven Mincha properly. Maybe once a year, it's worth it just for that. These are the issues. Okay, next issue. You go home, who lights Shabbos candles? Your wife. Who lights the Chanukah candles? Most of the time, just the husband. Who goes first? Whatever happened to the age-old adage, ladies first, out the window. Ladies first. Someone told me the last time was ladies first was when he dated his wife. He let his wife go into the car. He opened up the door for his car. Ever since they got engaged, never happened. 50 years later, yeah, he doesn't remember ever happening later. I was once in a place where there was a guy, they were going to wash. And there was a woman there who did not know one word of Hebrew. Not one word of Hebrew. And he motioned with his hands to this woman that she should go first. No, a gentleman. And he said to her, the words of the Gemara, Achoyre ari veloy achoyre isha. Which means, better walk behind a lion than go after a woman. It's not very polite, right? Okay, it's not very, better walk behind a lion, you'll end up in a better place. They go, so he said this with such grace to this woman who did not know one word of Hebrew. She thought he was saying ladies first in French. You know, some very, very... He was just making litzanis of her. And she was so honored. And I was sitting there laughing my head off. This guy is such a phony. Unbelievable. All right, but let's get back over here. Who goes first? The woman goes first to light the Shabbos candles, or does the man go first to light the Chanukah candles? The halach is hands down, the man goes first. The husband goes first because when the woman lights Shabbos candles, it's Kabbalah, it's Shabbos. It's Shabbos. And, you know, I'll tell you some drush. Let me tell you a little bit, I'll tell you a flavor of what this means from Rav Yitzchak Kuttner. This is in the laws of Avelos. We don't really follow this halacha l'maisa today, but there is a principle that in a beis ovel, the din of a beis ovel is not just on the people who are sitting Shiva. The entire bias is a base Ovel. So that means, let's say, for example, is an Ovel allowed to learn? No. An Ovel, Pikudei Hashem Yishem Esam Chilev, an Ovel is not permitted to learn. So am I, let's say I come to shul and I have a minhag that after I learn a davin, I learn a couple of mishnayos. I learn every day two mishnayos after davening. So it's part of my seder hayoim. So my neighbor is sitting shiva. So I go to his home, I daven, and now after davening, I want to just, it takes me 5 minutes to learn my two mishnayos. So halacha lemaisa kudzun tehet. Do whatever you want, right? Who's going to stop you? That's the way we live today. You're not the Avil, they're the Avil. They are not allowed to learn. You are allowed to learn. You're doing him a favor. You're coming to his house to make a minion. So you make the minion, you daven with him, minion. And while everyone is chattering and they're taking off their tefillin, so you want to go do your daily routine. You want to go learn your two mishnayos before you take off your tefillin. Gazon de'eit, right? That's the way we live today. Mm-hmm. However, there is a principle called, no, you're not allowed to do that. Because if this person is sitting Shiva, this is a base of him. Mm-hmm. The laws of that person affect the whole house. The whole house, there's a thickness of Avelos. No one is allowed to learn in this Mokoyim. This is a base of him. That's it. It's thick. The air is thick. You can slice it. It's a base of him. No one is allowed to learn. How dare you learn Mishnayos in this Mokoyim? It's a base of him. And I told you, we don't follow this lahalacha, but there's a lot of truth to this principle. When it comes to Chanukah, when a woman lights Shabbos candles, so she was mekabel Shabbos. Can the husband go vacuum? Can the husband go take a... Because, yeah, of course. Do whatever you want. That's the way we live today. Mm-hmm. Very nice. You lit Shabbos candles. Good for you. It's Shabbos for you. But I'm not ready yet. I'm my own man. I do whatever I want. That's the way we live today. But in principle, when a woman, who is in charge of the bias?
The woman.
The woman. A man is a guest in his wife's home. That's the rule. That's the rule of thumb. A man is a guest in his wife's home. You see all the men, the henpecked husbands. You see this. They take orders from the boss. That's the way it goes. A man is a guest. When the wife lights candles, it is Shabbos in this home, whether you like it or not. You can slice the ear. You can take out a knife and cut the ear. It is Shabbos. If the woman lights Shabbos candles, no one is being mechalel Shabbos in this bias. How dare you? If the woman lights Shabbos candles, I don't care that you were not mechalel Shabbos. So go out into the street and do whatever you want. In this bias, it's Shabbos. You don't be mechalel Shabbos to light Chanukah candles. Therefore, l'chol hadeis, the husband lights Chanukah candles first, and then the wife lights Chanukah candles. And then he lights, then the wife lights Shabbos. That is the rule of thumb. Now this year, by the way, and you're supposed to wait to the very end. There are a lot of different minhagim. I'm running out of time here quickly. But let do you say Haneres Halalu? Yes. Do you sing Mo'os Tzur? So normally, of course, you would, right? You would say the whole siddur, whatever it says there. So there are different minhagim. Some hold that you should not. You should go right away to shul. Don't delay. Immediately, just say Haneres Halalu, and the proper time to sing Mo'os Tzur. And all the other piyutim is Shabbos Zmiros. You come home, hopefully the candles are still lit, if they're not lit, then is the ideal time to recite most. So if you're going to say it now, you're going to be rushed. And who says you should really go to shul right away? It's Shabbos, you should go to Kabbalah. Kabbalah Shabbos is more important. L'chu neranana is kedima over Ma'osur. When you'll come home, then you can say the Ma'osur and you can say all the other piyutim. Some say no, some say the piyutim, this is its time. There are different minhagim. Everything is a matter of minhagim. Every person has their own minhagim, and they're all rooted in different sources, different gedolei yisrael, different things. But that is just one of the interesting issues. And this year's very interesting shayla, It only happens this year when Shabbos comes out on the second day of Hanukkah. This is a theoretical question. Hopefully, it shouldn't, everyone has enough oil and candles. Let us say you only have exactly 3 candles. Make believe. Okay, theoretical question to bring out a point. You only have, let me take a step back. One step back. Let's say a person can only afford one of the two, Shabbos candles or Hanukkah candles. Which wins, Shabbos or Hanukkah? So this is the halacha mefureshes, that Shalom Bayis wins. The person does not have money, only Shabbos candles or Hanukkah candles, Shalom Bayis has kedima over Hanukkah candles, ner Shabbos wins. There is a chiddush, which is shaloika halacha, some want to argue and say, this is a very interesting idea, brings out puts a lot of different concepts together, that bizman hazeh, we light inside. Time of the Gemara, they lit outside the house. Mipesach bayis mibachutz. So if you're going to take the few dollars you have, the few cents that you have, and buy Hanukkah candles, and light your Hanukkah candles outside the house, when you come home to eat your Su'udah Shabbos, you're in the dark. Because the light of the Hanukkah candles is outside. You're not seeing anything. Indoors, it's dark. But Bizman Hazeh, in Tavshin Pei Aleph, where most of us light inside. So then if you were to light the Hanukkah candles, you would be able to derive benefit from the Hanukkah candles for your Su'udah Shabbos. It can serve for both. So you'll say to me, what are you talking about? Haneros halalu koideshem, ve'ein lanu rishus lehishtamish bohem. You're not allowed to use them. Not so fast. The prohibition to use the Hanukkah candles is primarily for a dover shel choil, a mundane activity, not for a dover shel mitzvah. Some hold that you're allowed, believe it or not, you're allowed to read the from the Siddur, Haneros Halalu, and Moho Sur from the light of the Hanukkah candles. People don't know that. People think that you're not allowed to be mishamish, you're not allowed to even, if the only light that you have is from the Hanukkah candles, you're not allowed to read from the Siddur. You can. You're allowed to read l'chatchila, the words of Haneros Halalu, and the words of Moho Sur, from the light of the Hanukkah candles, even without a shamish. That's not a violation of Ein lanu reshus l'shtamish bohem ela l'roisim b'lvad. For Hanukkah itself, that's not part of the prohibition. It's referring to other activities. What about learning? L'chatchila not, but it's a dvar shel mitzvah. It's not so simple. So when it comes to Su'udah Shabbos, this is a mitzvah. So some want to argue this halacha, that most people are brainwashed, that Shalom Bayis comes first, that it only comes to time of the Gemara, we light candles outdoors. But Bizman said we light candles indoors, so maybe let's go use light Hanukkah candles and use it for both. Hanukkah, we'll use it for Hanukkah and for Ner Shabbos. No. Halacha l'mayis, the Psak halacha is, in every situation, you only use it for Ner Hanukkah. You use it Ner Shabbos. You make the bracha l'halik Ner Shal Shabbos, and you do not use it for Hanukkah candles. But now here comes something that's very unique to this year only. Unique halacha to this year only. Let's say, theoretically, a person only has 3 candles. Exactly 3 candles. It's the second night of Hanukkah. So there's not going to be a shamish. The shamish is only a minhag, so there's no shamish. How many candles do you light Friday night? Minimum. Shabbos candles? 2. Right? That's the minhag. The minhag is Shabbos. You light 2 candles, at least 2 candles. How many do you need to light Friday night according to the letter of the law? 1. How many Hanukkah candles do you light the second night of Hanukkah according to the letter of the law? 1. How many Hanukkah candles are you going to light because of the din of Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin? 2. So here's the question. If you only have 3 candles, ask this question, good riddle to ask people in shul. If you only have 3 candles Friday night, Friday night, this Friday night, which mitzvah should get two candles and which mitzvah should get one candle. Both of them, may Iker Hadin, needs one candle, and the higher level of observance is two candles. Women light two candles. Echa keneged zohar, v'echa keneged shomer. Chanukah, second night, mehadrin, mena mehadrin. Which one wins? Will you say shalom bayis? Everyone knows Chanukah wins. Chanukah over Shabbos generally is the winner over Chanukah because of the concept of shalom bayis. Do we say shalom bayis goes so far that Shabbos gets two candles and Chanukah only gets one candle? Or do we say no? The principle of mehadrin, mina mehadrin, that's more powerful than doing a hiddur for Shabbos. Right. And the answer is hands down, Chanukah wins. Why? It doesn't say anywhere in the world that Friday night a woman has to light two candles. This is pure minhag. Whereas lighting two Chanukah candles is a din. It's a din of hiddur. Mehadrin, mina mehadrin. Mehadrin, mina mehadrin is not a minhag. It's a din. There's a halacha of ner ishu beisa. V'ha mehadrin, ner l'cholech aviecha. V'ha mehadrin, mina mehadrin, moisif aholech. Shabbos, you light one candle. Lahalik ner shel Shabbos. Not neroi shel Shabbos. It's a minhag. It's a beautiful minhag. All we have left today, ein lanu shiur rach. No, they should change the nusach. We say ein lanu shiur rach haTorah hazayis, ein lanu shiur rach rach haminhagim, rach haminhag hazayis.
So why do you light two candles usually?
Zocha v'shama, zocha v'shama, zocha v'shama. That's the main reason. Zocha v'shama. So it's only a minhag. Mahadrim and a mahadrim is a din. And even though it's an optional din. There's a lot of lumdas you can argue over here. Talk about minhagim. This question brings together a lot of different issues. The bottom line is, you light two Chanukah candles, and Shabbos you light one. Both of them get, the woman lights one Shabbos candle, lahalik ner shel Shabbos, and then you light two Chanukah candles, the mimikayim, the dinu de gemara, mahadrim and amahadrim. All right, now let's go to Shabbos. Anything unique about Shabbos? What do we do? Well, you don't say tzitkoska. You don't say tzitkoska by mincha. Obviously, you say challah. That's part of the davening. Are there any unique minhagim about on Shabbos? There's no avarachamim, correct? During the suda, really just minhagim. Some people have during the suda they eat foods that have oil. I don't know if you want to do that. I were you, I wouldn't even look at a donut. Dangerous, very dangerous food. And they don't have holes for nothing, you should know. Okay, and we're not familiar with this, but by Hasidim, they have piyutim that they add to the Nusach HaTfilah. I don't even know if they do this anymore, but these, a lot of basically Shabbos, Chanukah, and Halacha. On Shabbos itself, I'm not all that familiar. Let's just jump to the running out of time about Mitzvah Shabbos. Next big dilemma. The next big dilemma is, what do you do Mitzvah Shabbos? What do you light first? Shabbos, Havdalah, or do you light Chanukah candles? So this is the famous machlokes between the Mechaber and the Ramah.
Right.
Between the Mechaber, the Mechaber says you first like Chanukah candles, I think, right? You first light Chanukah candles. And the Taz is no way. You first make Havdalah. Machlokes the Mechaber, it comes from the Rambam. If not mistaken, the Mechaber says you first should light Chanukah candles. Immediately. And then you make Havdalah. And the Taz says no such thing. You first make Havdalah, and then you light Chanukah candles. Now let's, same way we describe the issues Erev Shabbos, let's now describe the issues, the debate, the halachic debate the benefits of each argument. So let's start with the basics. What's the basic? Tadir, v'she'ena tadir, tadir kodim. Okay, well, you can't go wrong with that. That's gold. These are two obligations. You have in front of you two obligations, Havdalah and Chanukah candles. Havdalah is every Mitzvah Shabbos. Chanukah candles once a year, at most twice a year. What's the Shaila? Tadir, v'she'ena tadir, tadir kodim. Havdalah goes first. What would be another argument? Why Havdalah goes first? Another very simple argument. Lighting candles is Chil Shabbos. Now, I know you're going to say, so big deal. You said already in Atochonantonu. You said Vatavil ben Kodesh Lachol. Right? You already were Mavdil in Tefillah. And if you forgot, you'll say Baruch HaMavdil ben Kodesh Lachol. So you already were Mavdil. So there are two answers to that question. First of all, we're talking about Klal Yisrael. Not everyone remembers to say Atochan Anton. And not everyone remembers to say Baruch HaMavdil Ben Kodesh Lecho. So are we obligated to take into consideration the few people? There are always going to be people who are going to be part of a routine that they just forget. They're not with the program. Their minds are not there. What about women? Also women who are lighting on the room. They don't necessarily have a ma'arif. Not everyone is with the program. Not everyone does everything right. And if we're going to institute, if Chazal are going to institute that you should light Chanukah candles before you recite Havdalah, there's a real possibility of Chil Shabbos. Because you are not Mavdil. There are going to be people that are going to forget to say Baruch HaMavdil. People that are going to forget to say Atoch HaNantanu. Technically, you'll say it's no Chil Shabbos because Shabbos is over. All right, you can argue here and there, but there can be people who just strike a match before saying Baruch HaMavdil, before saying Atoch HaNantanu, and maybe, you know, it could even lead to striking the match before Shabbos is over. If they're not going to make Havdalah, you normally make Havdalah, there's a tendency to wait until Shabbos, you don't really need to do so, except Bar Mor HaEish, but generally, you wait until Shabbos is over to make Havdalah. If you're going to start lighting candles, you might light candles early before Shabbos is over. And you might not say Baruch HaMavdil. So maybe it would be a very good idea for a person. And that's argument number one. And argument number two is a more powerful argument is there are different levels of ending Shabbos. Just because a person says in Shmone Esrei, Atochon Antanu, it doesn't mean Shabbos is over. It's true, you said Atoch HaNantanu. You can now turn on the lights. You can do melacha. But Shabbos lingers. You say Baruch HaMavdil Ben Kodesh Lechol. Yeah, technically you can do melacha. But Shabbos is still lingering. If it's Shabbos, it's not Sunday. When you make Havdalah Al HaKois, that is the makeh bepatish, that Shabbos is now over. I once heard a very beautiful drosh on Tisha B'Av. Someone spoke on Tisha B'Av, really made it very, very many, many years ago. Made a very powerful Rosh Hashanah. He spoke exactly about this topic, saying that until you make Havdalah, Shabbos is not over. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could do malacha. Baruch HaMavdil, you're off to the races. I'll make Havdalah 12 o'clock at night when I get back from whatever. No. There's a seder. You say Havdalah in Tefillah and Havdalah al HaKos. The Havdalah in Tefillah is 50%, whatever numbers you want to give. But Shabbos is not fully over until you make Havdalah al HaKos. So in this Talmud Chacham, he said that when Tisha B'Av falls out on Mitzvah Shabbos, as it does very often, happened the last 2 years, I think. I don't know this year, but last 2 years. If you don't make, until you make Havdalah, and you don't make Havdalah until Mitzoy Tisha B'Av, because you can't drink. What does that mean? It means that it's a Tisha B'Av, it's a Shabbos Dika, it's the make-believe word I made up, okay, whatever that word means. It's a Shabbos Dika Tisha B'Av. It's not an ordinary Tisha B'Av. It's a Tisha B'Av that you wear big day Shabbos. By Hasidim, some of this different, there's a whole machlekes. Should you say the kinnis Mitzvah Shabbos with your big day Shabbos? Or should you change into big day Chol? There are many hold that no. Mitzvah Shabbos, you say the kinois Mitzvah Shabbos with big day Shabbos. You didn't make Havdalah. You didn't make Havdalah. Oh, I think Havdalah, Shabbos is not over. Oh, but I said Baruch HaMavdil. Yippee-doo. So you said Baruch HaMavdil, so you can do Malacha. But Shabbos is not over. How could you light Neros Chanukah before you make Havdalah? Neros Chanukah is Chilul Shabbos. Neros Chanukah, you're lighting the number of candles for Sunday, not for Shabbos. So you can't do it. You just can't do it. It's just not right. Okay, so we presented over here three arguments. Number one, Tadir. Tadir is a home run, out of the ballpark home run. Tadir, Vishaina, Tadir, Tadir, Kaidin. Number two, it's dangerous, practical, it's dangerous. It's just dangerous. If you're not going to make Havdalah first, who knows? Who knows what could happen? You may maybe Mechalel Shabbos. You may forget to say Baruch HaMavdi. You may forget to say Atochan Antanu. Number three, it's deeper than all this. This is the best answer. Shabbos is not over. It ain't over. How could you say, how could you do it? Okay, on the other hand, yeah.
You have a fourth, aspect, but it's the other way around. And in shul, assuming these.
Oh, we're going to get to shul. Shul is different. We'll come to shul in a minute. Right. Shul is different. Shul is, like let's first discuss the other merits, the other way around. Right now, you're making a very good point. Baruch is making a very good point. We're discussing what you do at home. We're discussing now what you do at home. In shul, lesman, the public, first is Chanukah candles. If the shul makes Havdalah, it doesn't matter. First comes, but Chanukah candles come first. But at home, there's a big, big machlokes. So we already presented three arguments why you should first make Havdalah. What are the merits of lighting Chanukah candles first? Well, number one, the best reason I think is the Zman. The Iker Zman of Chanukah candles is the first half hour after it gets dark. Havdalah, you can do the whole night. Mm-hmm. There's no limit to the Zman of Havdalah. There's no time. The Chazal never gave a Zman. Zrizim Magdimim. There's no such thing. Zrizim Magdimim when it comes to Havdalah. Chanukah candles have a Zman. The closer you can bring that, the closer you can shift the mitzvah to the Zman is the Kiyum HaMitzvah. Havdalah, big deal. Do the whole night. You're not doing anything when we're doing it later on. That's a very strong reason. You have to do the mitzvah of the Zman. Every mitzvah has a Zman. You got to do it as soon as possible. No dilly-dallying. You got to go home right. You got to go right away. The other reason Rav Baruch said is Persume Nisa. Persume Nisa trumps everything else. The Indian of publicizing a miracle is critical as can possibly be. This has to take precedence no matter what. No matter what, put everything aside. Persume Milsa is a Dover Chaviv. It's a Dover Chaviv Ad Me'oid. And this has to go right away. This has to appear right away. Are there other arguments? Maybe there are, I forgot. If there are other arguments, I forgot what they are. I forgot. Could be that there are more arguments why you should do Havdalah, why you should light Persume Chanukah. Chanukah should go first. But these are the two main reasons. Mm-hmm. It's a Zman. The Zman is now. Havdalah is later. And Persume Nisa. Halacha L'maisa. Now, there is an exception. And the exception is the Beis HaKnesses. In the Beis HaKnesses, everyone agrees you light Chanukah candles first. Mm-hmm. Why? Number one is Persume Nisa, that's the Tzibur, because there you really have it on steroids, the Persume Nisa, mm-hmm. because the whole shul is, that's the real Persume Nisa. Now, what about Tadir? So this is very important. This is a beautiful Yisayid, which we'll repeat only here probably 50 times, and that is the only time you say Tadir v'she'enoi Tadir, Tadir Kodem, isn't both of them are equal. Both of them are halacha. Or both of them are minog. They're both equal. In the Beis HaKnesses, there is no halacha to light a menorah. No such thing. The Iker mitzvah is ner ish ubeisai. A shul is no one's bias. So why then do you light Hanukkah candles in the Beis HaKnesses? It's purely a minhag.
It's because we said everybody said atochon antanu. So then, for everybody, it's after.
But you're not ma'avdol. You're always going to say atochon antanu, no matter what. At home also you say atochon antanu. But you did not ma'avdol kois. Okay, I hear what you're saying. Let's put that aside for a moment. This is something more important over here, and that is. You make a good point, but there's something very critical. The only time we say tadir v'she'ena tadir kedem from the both dinim, lighting candles in a shul is a minhag. It's unique among the class of minhagim that we make a bracha. There are almost very few minhagim which we make a bracha on, but it's still a minhag. Lighting candles is a minhag. Avdallah alakois is a din. They're not the same. If they're not the same, the rule of Tadir v'she'ena Tad does not apply. Then you do what's chaviv. What's chaviv? Chanukah candles, Pesume Nisa. That factor is not a factor in the Beis HaKnesses. It's just like, what do you do first? Mikra Megillah or Kriya Satorah? Contradiction. On Purim, first you lay in the Torah, and then you do Megillas Esther. But when it comes to Shira Shirim, Rus Koheles, first it's Rus Koheles Shira, and then Stira, what's going on? The answer is to lay in Rus Koheles Shira Shirim is a minhag. Megillas Esther is a din. When it comes to Purim, you have a din of Kriyas HaTorah, a din of Nikra Megillah, din? Tadir v'she'ena tadir kaidem. Rus Shira Shirim Koheles is a minhag. One is a minig, one is a din. There's no rule of tadir v'she'ena tadir. Then we say chaviv comes first. What's more chaviv? The megillahs are chaviv because it's very rare. So in the Beis HaKnesses, the lighting of the Chanukah menorah is a minhag, a unique minig with a bracha, but it's a minhag. There's no din tadir v'she'ena tadir. It's chaviv, persume nisa. And the zman is ASAP. So in the shul, the lighting of the menorah wins. At home, there are different minhagim. My impression is 90% of the population in this community lights, does havdalah first. That is what appears to be extremely common. And that at home, havdalah is done first. But that's not universal. There are those who have a custom to do it the other way around, and kol hakavod. All right. Okay. Now, one thing I saw this year, I never saw this, never heard this before. I found it very interesting. Is some have a minhag, either bedavka to do it or bedavka not to do it, is to light the shamash with the havdalah candle. How do you like that? You make havdalah. And when Havdalah is over, don't put out the Havdalah candle so fast. Use the Havdalah candle to light your shamash.
Why?
Because kevon the ovale mitzvah, kevon mitzvah goyreres mitzvah. Since the bury, this or was used with a bracha, a lichtekeit, you made a bracha on this or. That's awesome. You don't make a bracha when you light the shamash. You don't make the shamash is choil. You don't make a bracha. You take the shamash, you light the shamash. Oh, now you make the bracha. Look at this. The or that you're using to light the shamash, even the shamash had a bracha. Borei me'orei ho'ish. That or will now be used to light your shamash. It sounds very nice, right? And some tackle hold you should do this. That would be another factor to consider why you should do Havdalah first. And then, I never saw anyone say that you should light candles and then take from the shamish for your Bari Mari Ha'esh. Okay, that I never saw. Okay, also, by the way, okay, you just reminded me. You reminded me of another reason. There's another reason why you should do Havdalah first. And that's because Yitaka can't make Bari Mari Ha'esh. If you were to make, if you were to light Hanukkah candles first, you're already being nene from the R. You've already done a maisa of lighting the candles.
We said you can't get
hanof
from the
Hanukkah menorah. From the shamish. So the lighting of the shamish, it weakens your ability to namik a bracha borei mo'orei ho'esh. That's a topic in and of itself. If there's any truth to that statement or not, but let's go. I just want to point out that this is not so pashut. You know why it's not so pashut? Because what does the or of Hanukkah represent? The or of sheishes yimei breishes. Vayom alakim yihi or. There shall be light. Vayar alakim es or kitoiv. He took that or and was goines that or for the tzaddikim laosilovai. Chanukah is the or of vayar alakim es Hashem's or. Es or kitoiv. Mitzoy Shabbos. What or are you lighting? The or of Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon took two rocks, he rubbed them together, a spark. I don't know how that spark turned into fire. He must have had some gasoline. When he had an automobile, he had a tank of gas. Somehow, he rubbed together, he had something combustible ready to go. What did they have combustible in those days? Wood chips. A spark, is that a wood chip? What did he have there combustible? I don't know. But he rubbed together two stones to make some sparks, and those sparks ignited something. What kind of aura is that?
Yeah, it's some fossil fuel.
What kind of aura is that? Shvachem Isis. What kind of aura did he have? Adam HaRishon. This is the aura of Hanukkah is the aura of the 36 candles. The 36 hours that the or was mishamish before Hashem was goines the or for the tzaddikim losalovo, the or of Chanukah is in a different league. It's an insult. How could you take the or of the Havdalah candle? How could you use that? What are you kidding? It's a zilzal. It's an insult to associate the or of Havdalah with the or of the menorah. You gotta put it out. Don't you dare use the Havdalah candle to light your shamish. Or no, adarabah, we want to bring them together. We want Adam's or to mingle with the or of my siberacious. How do you look at that? You gotta be a big philosopher to think about that. Okay, that's a very good topic of discussion. You ask a person, what would you do? What do you think about this? There are different, there's no pshar, do whatever you want. There are different, I saw people, some say, die like this. You should, either you should or you shouldn't. There's no halacha, do whatever you want. You can do it, no harm done. It's a concept which certainly different people will have a very different feeling towards this approach. Some want to wear a mask, some don't want to wear a mask. Everyone is different. This is something which everyone will have a different personal feeling if it's proper to take the or of Adam HaRishon and let it be the torch to light the or of the Ribbono Shel Olam that was nignaz by my siberations for the tzaddikim la'asalava. Okay, I told you some Jewish, we don't have time. So let me just tell you one little thing. Today is the 24th day of Kislev. We spent a lot of time on Sefer Chagai, where Sefer Chagai received a double prophecy. I'm not mistaken, it's the only time in Jewish history where a prophet received two prophecies on the same day. The 24th day of the 9th month. This is in Sefer Chagai. If you learn Daf Yomi, it was mamish. It's unbelievable. This week, Daf Yud Zayin in the Sech of Psochem actually discussed this in very great detail. What happened on this day? There were two prophecies. One of the prophecies was where Zechariah, he tested the Kohanim to see if they are knowledgeable in the laws of Avodah. And
Chagai.
Chagai. He tested them. he tested them to see if they know the halachas, and the question there was, did they know the law of a revi? We all know that there's something called avi avos. There are seven madregos in tumah, seven levels. Avi avos, the dead body. Then there's the ava tumah, someone who comes in contact. Then there's the rishon, what he touches. Then the touch of the utensil. And then if the food comes into the utensil, it becomes a sheni. That's where it ends, by chumah. Teruma can become a shlishi. Kodshim, meat of kodashim, can become a revi'i. And anything that is used in preparation for the para aduma can become a chamishi. So there are seven levels of tumah. Chagai tested the kohanim if they know there's something called a revi'i. Now, to make a very long story, and when did he test them? He tested them on the 24th day of Kislev, today. Today is the anniversary of Chagai's exam. Today was the recertification exam for Kohanim to do the avoiding the Beis HaMikdash. And there's a big machlokes hadol. We spent so much time on this. The psukim are very, very cryptic. What they mean, what's... And then, and did they get the answer right or wrong? Did they get it right? So two different, Rav or Shmuel. Rav says, I forgot, one says they got the answer right, one says they got the answer wrong. What was the question? What was the answer? There were two questions. One they got right, one they got wrong. They both of them were wrong, both of them were right. It's a whole Megillah. And then he makes a declaration. He's, oh, just like you got the answer either right or wrong, this is the story of Klal Yisrael. This is the story of Klal Yisrael. Is that a compliment or is that an insult? Well, it depends. Okay, this is, we can't go through now. It's enough time now to go to the whole sugya. We spend a lot of time on this. This prophecy took place on the 24th day of Kislev. What relevance is that for us today? So I want to tell you two things, which are really related. I'm just going to rush from because we're out of time. Maybe tomorrow we'll dwell some more time on this. I want to ask another quick question, an amazing question from the Aruga Sabaisen, and I think the answer to that question relates partially to this Navua as well. The Aruga Sabaisen is a knockout question on Chol Hamoed Sukkos. We lay in Yoni Diyom. We lay in the karbonos of 2 days. The first aliyah, let's say make believe it's the third day Chol HaMoed. So the first aliyah, we lay half of that day. The second aliyah, we lay the other half of that day. And the third aliyah, we lay in the next day. The first aliyah we lay in day number one. The second aliyah we lay in the next day. And the third aliyah we review. Mm-hmm. We chazer over.
Right.
We review. We relain. Day three, day four, right? We go backwards.
Right.
We lay in day three, that's today. And then, tomorrow, day four. Oh, and then we lay in day three and four. Chanukah, we lay in from the Nisim. On the first day of Chanukah, let's say the third day of Chanukah. The third day of Chanukah, what do? We lay in half of the third day, the third Nasi, and the second Aliyah, half, the other half. So what should we do for the third Aliyah? Let's do what we do on Chol HaMoed Sukkos. We should go backwards and lane the whole thing again. We shouldn't lane the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it on Chanukah we lane today's day and tomorrow, whereas on Chol HaMoed we lane 2 days and we go back? Now, let's explain the reason why. On Chol HaMoed Sukkos, the Sfeika D'Yoyma, in the Shmoyne Esrei, the reason why we say 2 days, if it's the third day Chol HaMoed, what do we say? Uvayoyim HaShlishi, Uvayoyim HaRevi. Why? Sfeika D'Yoyma. It's Sfeika D'Yoyma. We don't really know what the real day, even though we have a calendar, But because of the principle of Sveika D'Yoma, we lay in both days. Chanukah, there's no Sveika D'Yoma. There's no Din Sveika D'Yoma in Chanukah. No one lights 9 candles. That's a topic in and of itself. But we don't have Sveika D'Yoma when it comes to Chanukah. So there's no Sveika D'Yoma. There's absolutely no excuse to lane the next day's lane. In fact, the Sfardim don't. The Mechaber says that the Kriya Sator in Chanukah, the first Aliyah is half of the Nasi, the second Aliyah is the second half of the Nasi, and according to the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch, the third Aliyah, you repeat. You repeat the entire thing again. Do not lane the day 4, because day 4 is not, today's day 3, not day 4. Oh, Chol HaMoed Sukkis, you repeat? Yeah, because Chol HaMoed Sukkis is Sveika D'Yoma. So Sveika D'Yoma, so you lane the next day because it's Sveika D'Yoma. But Chanukah, there's no Sveika D'Yoma. The Ramah says no. We don't go backwards. No going backwards here. You go forwards. Why? So the Arugas HaBoyetzim says something that is incredibly off the charts awesome, which ties into this Nevuah. And he says, what's the miracle of Chanukah all about? You'll say the menorah, right? The menorah. What does the Gemara say about the menorah? My Chanukah. Bechof hei bekislev. They came into the Beis HaMikdash. They found the Pach Shemen. It was only enough to last one day, and it lasted 8 days. The miracle of the oil began on day 1. Chof hei bekislev is day 1. But Arugos HaBoisim says, when did the war end? The war ended on the 24th day of Kislev.
Chof hei bekislev.
The 20th of Kislev. We don't do anything to celebrate the 24th day of Kislev. But we do. Here's an incredible chiddush. We lain uv'yoyim harvi. On the first day of Chanukah, we lain uv'yoyim harishayim, uv'yoyim hasheni. What do you mean yoyim hasheni? Today may be the first day of the Chanukah miracle of oil, but it's the second day since the war. The 24th day was the day, the miracle of the war. Therefore, the first day Chanukah, the first day Chanukah of oil, is the second day of the holiday for the war. So therefore, in the Kriyas HaTorah, we commemorate it. The Maisa Mitzvah, we have 8 days of Chanukah and lighting candles. But in Divrei Torah, when you learn Torah, you know why? And he doesn't say this, I'm adding this, is because Torah is called war. Lechu lachamu belachami. Lechu lachamu belachami. Go to battle with my bread. Milchamtoi shel Torah. Everyone asked the question, where do we commemorate the milchama? Not fear. We say in the Al Hanisim, very nice, we mentioned the milchama. But let's do a ma'isa. Where is the ma'isa kiyum zecher? You know where it is? In learning Torah. When you learn a daf gemara on Chanukah, this is a celebration. This is equivalent to lighting the menorah. When you light the menorah, you're celebrating the hadlokas haneros. When you learn a daf gemara, lechu lachamu belachmi. This is war. A recognition that the loyalty, the mesiras nefesh to Torah, is the greatest tool in being successful in milchama. And to emphasize this over the top, in the kriyas haTorah, uveyom hashlishi. Yeah, that's for the menorah. Uveyom haRavi, that is, it's the fourth day since the miracle of the war. Don't be like the Sfardim. Sfardim don't say this. They go back. Only going to commemorate the nation. Arugas HaBoisem, unbelievable. So what is Arugas HaBoisem really telling us? Is that there's a miracle on the 24th day. Today is Chanukah. Today is the first day of Chanukah. Not tomorrow. Today, Hayoim. The Nevuah in Chagai, the Hashkocha Prodesh, is not on the 25th day. It's on the 24th day. Now, here's the point about it very quickly. This is the point. This the only guts from the Daf Yomi. Daf Yomi, the Gemara there talks about this sugya of Chagai. This whole nevuah was all brought down incidentally when the Gemara discussed a question: do liquids in the Beis Hamikdash do they contaminate? There's a special principle that liquids in the Beis Hamikdash are doche, are tohar. They do not have the ability to contaminate because, for whatever reason, that's a whole sugya. And the Gemara says, really? Are you serious that liquids do not contaminate in the Beis Hamikdash? Let's go to Sefer Chagai. Chagai tested the Kohanim. He wanted to know if there's something called a revihi by Kodoshim. And he gave them a test. You know what the test was? You have a sheretz that touches a piece of bread. And the piece of bread touches wine, or touches a garment, the whole series. And part of the process, a sheretz touches a piece of bread, and the piece of bread touches yayin. And then the yayin touches shemen, oil. What is yayin? What is shemen? Yayin is a liquid, and shemen is a liquid. And you see, he tested them, and they were wrong. They got the answer wrong, according to one opinion. So you see that liquids in the Beis Hamikdash do have the ability to contaminate. And then the Gemara gives the answer, which explains everything that we need to know about Chanukah. The Gemara says, you made a foolish mistake. Our question was, Maya bey mit b'chaya, with a test. Liquids in the butcher house, where they slaughter animals in the Beis HaMikdash. There's water and blood all over the place in the section of the Beis HaMikdash where they're slaughtering animals. There we have a principle, we have a discussion, that liquid is not subject to contamination. You're asking me a question from Chagai of Yayin and Shemen, that's Maya Bey Mid Bechaya with a Dalit. That's liquids that go on the Mizbeach. Liquids that go on the Mizbeach, that's a different level. The Mizbeach is a category to itself. That is so sacred. The liquids there are subject to contamination. What is Chanukah called? Chanukah. Why is it called Chanukah? Oz Egmor B'Shir Mizmor Chanukas HaMizbeach. He tested them, Chagai, on the 24th day regarding the Maya, the liquids of the Bey Mid Bechai, of the Mizbeach. He gave them an exam, the Kohanim, to understand the sanctity of the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach! What is the Mizbeach all about? Sacrifice. Death. That's what the Mizbeach is. The sanctity of dying al Kiddush Hashem. That's what he tested them on the 24th day. The 24th day of Kislev was the day when he tested them. Do you really appreciate what it means to die al Kiddush Hashem? The Mizbeach, this Maya, the Mizbeach is sacred. The Maya Beimid Bechaya, you don't put on the Mizbeach liquid that's tame on the Mizbeach. Is the Mizbeach is in a different level. What does the Mizbeach represent? You sacrifice animals on the Mizbeach. What was Chanuk all about? War. The Chashanah, they died. They went to battle, they died. And they won. But it came through great sacrifice. That was the 24th day. The 25th day, they rebuilt. They entered into they lit the menorah. We're going to go forward. We're going to move ahead with what we've accomplished. There are two holidays. There's a holiday that begins on the 24th day, and there's a holiday that begins on the 25th day. When you learn Kriya Satara, you don't go backwards. Uveyom Hasheni v'yom Hashlishi v'yom Arishav v'yom Hasheni v'yom Hashlishi. The first we talk about Chanukah, the menorah, you go fight. Let's rebuild. But when you rebuild, don't forget to look back at the sacrifice people made for you in the past.
Very nice.
24th day is the nevuah of the Maya. The Gemara is not the base mitbechaya. What kind of question is this? We're not talking about water and blood. We're talking about the Maya Bay mitbechaya, the Mizbeach. What is Chanukah? Chanukah HaMizbeach, the sacrifice. Koychanim, do you understand what this is all about? This was the test on the 24th day. This is Chanukah. I said, no, my Chanukah. So, oh, by Chanukah, you get all worked up. Masechta Shabbos. Yeah. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos begins. Bechof hei bekislev. There's another my Chanukah. My Chanukah? Psochem yud zayin. Bechof dalid bekislev. Kriyas haTorah. When you learn Torah, it brings the both together. Torah is the synthesizer. Uviyoyim harishoyin, uviyoyim hasheni. V'yom ha'sheni u'v'yom ha'shlishi. V'yom ha'shlishi v'yom ha'viyah. Torah is ma'ached. The future and the past. The tahara in going forward, recognizing, acknowledging, honoring the sacrifice of those who came before us. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Sain. Be well.
Fel Chanukah. I'll be away for Shabbos. I'll leave tomorrow morning.
Okay. Enjoy. Enjoy. Yes.
Monday
rest. Have a good day.
Rabbi Levine?
Yes, yes.
Rabbi, I'm going to be by my